Hey everyone, welcome
Hey.
back. Welcome back after our break last week. Thank you for
Yeah,
joining us.
We are so sorry about that. I unfortunately got back into the workforce.
Unfortunately.
was not used to actually working and it just knocked me out.
Yeah, and also I think until now, we were both super blessed in that our schedules were super flexible and we could always kind of spontaneously almost adapt to each other and like find a time to record. And now for the first time, we realized, oh shit, you are actually in New York and I am actually here and there is a time difference and we both have stuff to do. So that hit hard, but here we are.
Also, I realized how technologically impaired I am. I'm really not okay with like making sure that my devices work.
What do you
like,
mean?
I have, because I have like my Austrian phone, which doesn't work, but like that's what I use. So I just need to find Wi-Fi all the time. And I also need it to like log into my email. You know, you have like the two-step verification.
Yeah.
Where it sends you like a code to your phone, but I can't receive any of those codes because my phone doesn't work.
Shit.
So everything is just always frustrating and it's really annoying.
Yeah. Well, you'll figure it out. I believe in you. But here we are. And today we will talk about a topic that's kind of vague, I guess. I don't know yet how to call this episode, but once you listen to this, there will be a title. It's basically based on our Instagram stories. A few weeks ago, we posted quite a bit about contraception and sex education and asking you guys in our polls and stories about your experiences. And that was one of the most interactions we've ever had with our listeners and followers, because I really remember being so shocked that so many people reached out, especially women. And, you know, we're like, oh my God, I've had the same problem, or I went through this and this. And we asked you guys if you wanted an episode about these topics. So here we are. So we're going to talk a bit about, I guess, sexuality, sex education, and maybe also going into the role of sexuality in therapy, because I think that's a bit of a taboo topic as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's probably the hardest topic to actually work through in therapy, especially depending on who your therapist is, because a lot of times, very like not necessarily in reality, but they represent a very like authoritative and kind of conservative figure, at least from my experience.
Yeah. So starting off, I'm actually interested because I think it's a valuable resource that you grew up in the United States and you went to school there, and then you also were in school in Wales, and I was in school in Austria, obviously. And I'm interested to know if you had, did you have any like sex education in school? And I mean sex, not just in intercourse, but like generally, you know, about contraception, about menstruation, about sexual identities, stuff like that.
So in the U.S., I definitely had sex ed. I don't remember it so clearly, but 100% we had sex ed. And it was about everything. So it was about like sex, as in physically having sex. It was about sexually transmitted diseases. It was about sexuality. The problem was it wasn't really like an ongoing thing. It was always like somebody popped in one day and kind of spoke to us for an afternoon. So that was the issue that I had with that, because it was so short and so brief and didn't really give you a chance to like think about the things that you learned, because there was nowhere to follow up, or like there was no one to really go back to ask questions. But in Wales, zero. Sexuality was not a thing. I went to an all-girls school. If we were like caught talking to the guys who went to the school next door, we would be like in huge trouble.
Really?
It was crazy. It was so frowned down upon. And it was so frowned upon that like it made me boy fucking crazy. I was obsessed.
Of course, it's like the forbidden fruit.
Yeah. But what about you? How was it in Austria?
I feel like in Austria, I guess it's somewhere in between, but definitely from my experience, leaning more towards Wales. Mm-hmm. I remember we had like sex ed in like our biology class at school, which basically means, I think everyone has this picture, you open your biology book and on one side of the page it's the penis and on the other side it's the vagina, and then you really have to like name the certain parts and stuff. Yeah. So it's extremely based in anatomy. Of course you talk about sex, but if I think about it and I look back, like everything I learned about sex, about contraception, about even menstruation, about all that is from my own education that I did, you know, in the last, I don't know, 8 years. And it's absolutely not from school. I personally do not remember learning anything about sexually transmitted diseases. I never learned anything about, you know, the female orgasm, mm-hmm. and never learned anything about, yeah, contraception or gay sex or just the fact that sexuality is fluid and there's not just heterosexual or homosexual, but it's like a spectrum. And stuff like that makes me really question our educational system and wonder how it's going to change and if it's going to change in the future.
Yeah, I think it has to change.
It has to. It has to. But in that sense, I feel like I had a non-existent sex education, which is crazy.
That is crazy. And I think it makes kids like way more kind of mischievous when it comes to sex. And it makes kids look for answers in all the wrong places. And I personally, yeah, I had a few sex ed classes, but they just weren't detailed enough. And I think especially when you kind of like open up Pandora's box, you come in to a school and like tell these kids about sex and like how to put on a condom. Like they were good informational things, but it was like, it was kind of just like a little peek into it. And I was like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. I'm leaving now. And then all of us were like, whoa, what the hell? Like, what is this? And then, of course, like, we went and searched for answers by looking for things like, I don't know, porn and whatever we could find, really.
Like, I don't know. I look back at my school life and I try to remember and like to search in my memory of like experiences like that. But I remember I was always so extremely just... yeah, embarrassed about sexuality, the topic of sexuality. And I know that I was not the only one. And it was not that when it came up that I like, you know, giggled or flushed or anything. On the contrary, I tried to like play it cool and be like, yeah, you know, it's all mm-hmm. good. But just because it was so not a topic, never present in any classes, that it was so suppressed. And I think this is how like stigma also develops, and this is how these taboos develop. But I remember literally being like 16, and then someone would like mention menstruation, and like half of the class, and especially the guys, would like burst out laughing. You know what I mean? And I think that's so crazy that also not only what we teach younger women and girls, but especially also boys. I think that is insane that we always also in biology talk about the penis and how the man can impregnate a woman and how they should wear a condom and stuff. But we also never, at least in Austria, there's never an emphasis, or at least in my days, on like female sex.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is definitely different in the US. And we even like learned about like diaphragms and stuff, like female condoms. And like, it is definitely...
Wait, what's that?
Oh my God.
No, I'm just kidding. Imagine. I was like, what? See? But also from my education, I know that. And from like fucking Sex and the City, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that sucks. But so we definitely had more sex education, but it didn't make the thoughts around the topic any better. I feel like it made it really terrible because... guys were vicious. I remember actually recently my friend and I found like some videos that we took from high school. And we were so excited about it. We were thinking, oh, this is so cute. Oh my God, we have videos of us like just hanging out in school and walking down the hallway. And then we watched it. We were horrified because there was like me sitting on some guy's lap. He was like grabbing my boobs.
What?
Yeah. He was laughing. I was laughing. I don't know. At the time, I didn't understand really that that's not acceptable, or
Sure.
even though maybe I had a bad feeling about it, I wanted to be accepted and I didn't want to, I don't know, be an outcast. So we all just went along with it. And these videos were just one video after the next of us being sexually harassed. And it's absolutely disgusting that schools, I mean, this was done in the hallways and everywhere, and that teachers watch kids doing that
Yeah.
and they don't intervene. I don't know. It was really, really disturbing.
It is really disturbing. What you just said brings me to a good topic that I think is really important. I think the topic of consent in general is something that should really be added to like an educational curriculum. I
Yeah.
think it's not only about obviously the anatomy and the physical aspects of sex, but also everything surrounding it and sexuality, and especially nowadays with also the movements of the past year, like Me Too, etc. I think we've seen that this is such a prevalent issue, something we've always known, but you know, that has kind of gained more presence in the media also. And I think this is something, the topic of consent and what you just said, you know, sitting on someone's lap and stuff. And I'm sure it was, or I actually I'm not sure, but maybe it was also perceived from your side as fun and stuff. But if we also never learn where boundaries lie, and as a little kid or as a teenager, you're so insecure and you're so confused all the time, and you kind of bring that into your development also later in life, I think it gets more and more difficult. And I think, I don't know, learning about the topic of consent and that, you know, no is a full sentence and stuff like that would be so important. And it would, I don't know, maybe that's also just my fantasy, but I do think it would make a difference for later in life. Obviously, also to teach that to boys.
Yeah. So, like, when I think about consent, I get very confused still. I do think it's extremely important. I do think that when somebody doesn't say no, but doesn't want to do something, it's still extremely important. But I think consent became such a, not overused, because I don't want to say that I don't think
Yeah.
it's necessary, but it's become such a blurry thing because we have no really what consent is. If somebody does something unwilling, doesn't say anything about it, or if two people are drunk and things happen and then the person regrets it the next day, it becomes really, really complicated. And I think it becomes scary for both and men. At least with me, I have no idea what I really have consented to in the past. I think I've done a lot of things that I didn't want to do. And for me, it makes me very insecure because I think about the fact that I could have said no, but I didn't, and I still did things, and I didn't give my consent, but I never for myself because of what you said. You feel so insecure and you don't want to be an outcast and you also don't want to be singled out.
I completely understand where you're coming from. And as you say, I also don't want to be someone who is like consent, you know, is a overused term and stuff because it is such an important topic, but I completely understand what you mean. And if I look back at my, especially when, you know, when you start to be sexually active, I almost had the feeling that I kind of need to experience everything and kind of like just do stuff for the sake of doing it,
Yeah.
but not because I necessarily want to. But that doesn't mean that the guys were overstepping their boundaries
Yeah.
in something. It was more within me that I had like my phase of like not knowing who I am, not really having an identity, which is very typical also for adolescents. And you feel like you're torn between 100 different places and stuff. But even teaching young men and women that, in some extent, I don't know, it must be possible to like spread more awareness of this topic so that not so much harassments
Yeah.
happen later in life and that not so much miscommunication and misunderstanding happens in places like a workplace or something like that, when just someone makes a really inappropriate comment and stuff like that. But I also don't know a solution of like how to exactly do it, because it is so individual as well.
It is, and it really makes me think. I just thought about how I wish it was mandatory every single student to see a counselor at school.
Yeah.
But that's basically impossible, especially in the US when there's schools of like 3,000 kids. But I feel like it's such a shame that adolescents don't get a chance to talk to people one-on-one, you know, in an open and honest way, and really be able to share with them what's going on. Because if at that, I feel like these issues that we're talking about would have been so much smaller, because you don't have anybody. You have your friends, you have your peers. You still want to have a certain reputation, and you still want them to think of you in a certain way. Then you have your parents. You basically hate your parents when you're a teen, or you don't hate them. You definitely want to, I don't know, share your intimate secrets with them. There's really no one else.
Yeah, that's true. And you're also in that phase as a teenager when you start being sexually active, that maybe you shared that with your friends and stuff, and it's all exciting, but you'd never, or not never, but I think many of us did not also tell their friends, like, yeah, I had sex, but actually, I don't know, it was weird and it kind of hurt and it was uncomfortable and awkward and stuff. It's always like, oh, yeah, I had sex. And people are like, oh my God, that's so exciting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially as a teenager, because there's so much, insecurity around it, and maybe shame and embarrassment and just not knowing. And it's funny because when you're 17 and I was 17 when I like lost my virginity, and I remember I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, because how are you supposed to know? Yeah. But still, in the group, everyone pretends like they're all mature and grown up, you know what I mean? And everyone knows, but it's all just a mess.
It's crazy. I really wish I had like somebody to listen to me, but also somebody to teach me those things, like not really how to have sex, because you got to figure that out kind of by doing it horribly a few times. But if I had like these few just key points when I was younger, if I knew how much people would try to violate me and disrespect me, and that I need to take care of myself and I need to be tough, I think I would have faced things with a different perspective. But I don't think anybody warned us or told us that people take advantage of you. And then when it happened, when people did take advantage of me, I thought it was my fault and I was embarrassed and I didn't want to tell anyone because it was something that was not spoken about. So I just thought, oh, this must be just me. So I'm just not going to talk it.
Exactly. And for me, I can relate to that, even though with a different aspect. But for me, I really wish in school, or I guess in school, because where else, I would have learned from someone else that I respect, or that is, you know, like a teacher or an authoritative person. I would have learned about like masturbation and like female pleasure, because that is something that I completely had to like not only learn by myself, obviously, but like the meaning of it and the importance of it. And I wish in school, young women especially would also kind of learn, you know, like go home, explore yourself, find out what you like, and don't expect to have an orgasm from sex with a man, because many women can't and never will be able to, or maybe have to obviously also communicated with the partner, this is what I like, but we never even touched that subject. So how do you expect to have an orgasm from sex when you never even realize that you are responsible for having an orgasm and not the other person? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wish someone had told me that, because I feel like this is something that also especially young women don't talk about. Everyone pretends that they have an orgasm every time they have sex, because that's also what you see in movies and in porn and stuff. So you do have a completely wrong picture, and everyone is like walking around pretending to be all like sexually satisfied. You're like, well, and I highly, highly doubt it. May I say, I'm talking about younger generations, but also I think many adults.
Also older, yeah. And I don't know, this is really TMI. It's okay. We've already shared a lot on here. I was just thinking about my orgasm and I was fucking terrified.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me because I didn't know
what's happening.
Anything about it.
I
and
get
it happened like I didn't mean to, it didn't happen on purpose. And I really was like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack.
Dude, I can relate. I get that. I get that.
What's wrong? Something's very wrong. And it sucks. Like, we shouldn't be scared. And,
I totally get that. I remember also having my first orgasm and kind of, I noticed a feeling, but I didn't know if it was pleasurable or pain. And then I realized it's pleasure, but it's so overwhelming. And it was like, what the fuck's going on? Is this like normal? Is this, you know what I mean? Totally. Yeah. But no one talks about this. And you just see it in movies. Girls like having an orgasm after like literally a minute of penetration. And it's like, what? Who are these people? I'm sure they're out there, but it's not the norm.
It's so funny. I almost like appointed myself as the orgasm police. And I have made it.
What does that even mean?
I'm telling you, it is one of my life goals to let as many men know as possible that what they think doing to give people an orgasm, it's fucking false. And it's so weird. Like, I tell grown men that don't have orgasms from sex, and they're shocked.
You're basically, you're
upset.
You're a sex educator. Yeah, it makes you really mad. That,
what
like,
makes me really upset is that men know how to like receive pleasure and also pleasure themselves, and they're very knowledgeable about their own orgasms. And what's crazy is that women also be knowledgeable about to pleasure men. Like, we know how to make men orgasm, most women, or at least most women to know how. It's really not the case a lot of times for the other way around.
True. And I think this is also something that needs to be talked about. I'm also interested, now that we kind of ranted a bit on that, and I think, I think our listeners will probably have similar experiences, or maybe also someone has a completely opposite experience. That would be interesting to know. But I kind of want to touch upon the role of sexuality in general in therapy. Now, this is a huge topic, but I think let's just take some aspects out of it.
Yeah.
Because I have been asked, when I talk about being in psychoanalysis and being trained to be a psychoanalyst, etc., people, you know, are like, okay, what's being in therapy like in psychoanalysis, la la la. And then you talk about, you know, free association, and you're like, well, the main theory is that you just lie down and you just talk about whatever comes to mind. There's no right or wrong, just talk. And then people are like, okay, but like, do you also talk about sex? And then I'm like, yeah, of course. And they're like, but that's so weird. Your therapist is like a guy and he's like almost 70. Isn't that so weird? And stuff. So there is still a taboo about sexuality for many people.
Definitely.
Also to talk about in therapy and in psychoanalysis. Sexuality is a very big topic, like probably the biggest topic.
The topic.
It's the topic. That doesn't mean that everything is about sex, but it is something that is very present and very important to work through, because sexuality is such a huge part of our identity. And I don't know, I'm curious to know for you, like, maybe what has changed in your sexuality through being in therapy, or have there been any kind of revelations that have been standing out, or what role has sexuality played for you in your analysis?
Sexuality is actually such a huge part of my analysis. There's like a few things that really stand out, I think, with me in my therapy. And I think the main one is that I do have a lot of sexual problems. And I mean, people wouldn't say it's a problem, but I'm like hypersexual. And I mean, that just proves that certain people see things as problems and to others, it's not a problem at all. But something that I've always been really ashamed of and really scared to talk about. And it's been so helpful to just be able to talk about it in a serious way, just like you would talk about any other problem that you have in your life. And it was such a relief to have somebody respond to me and listen to me as if I was speaking about something that's not a taboo. And I think it's so helpful just to be able to talk about these things. And also, I have to say, in that topic, my therapist is very, very good in dealing with it. And I think that's where I've maybe grown the most in my therapy, because a lot of things that I thought were disgusting or I thought were not okay or embarrassing, I would tell him about. And then he would say things like, it sounds to me like you're an extremely healthy young woman who enjoys having sex. Like, that's an achievement and you should be happy with that. Why is it so embarrassing? So just small details like that. Also, I was convinced that I had a sex addiction. And even though in analysis, you're not really faced with a lot of solutions, so your therapist wouldn't give you any advice, he just kind of shifted my perspective and made me think about kind of what we were talking about in the last episode. These are my problems. Yeah. They're always going to be there. This is not going to get rid of it. I'm always going to have this problem. Instead of trying to get rid of the problem, first of all, thinking about where it comes from, helpful, makes it like much less intense. But more than that, finding people who share the same problem as me. And again, it's a problem, to others it's not. If you want to have sex all the time, find a partner who does too. Like, there's nothing wrong with having sex all the time. And that was like a big thing that I learned.
I think that is such a big learning also for me in therapy, even though it's funny because in that aspect, I think we're so opposite.
Yeah.
But it just proves that, like, in therapy, by talking through these things, you realize that every single person is just different and differently wired, and we have different histories and different personality structures and everything, and everything is fine. Everyone has a different sexual behavior and desires and wishes and stuff. And for me, it's almost on the different spectrum, where I feel like I've always had such an issue with, obviously, kind of like connected to my body image stuff and just femininity in general. And I always felt like I'm just really not sexual at all, and I just don't really care about sex as much as many other people do. Of course, it's a part of my life, and it has gotten much better in therapy, and I realized that I do enjoy it. But there was a phase really in my life where I really thought I was like asexual or something, and where I really felt like there's something really wrong with me, because I'm a young woman, I like dating, I like meeting people, I like cuddling, I like being intimate with someone, but the physical act of like sex just doesn't give me anything.
Yeah.
I've gotten a very different view on that, and it also has changed a lot, and I've learned that you cannot single out the sex, you know, it is part of a bigger picture. It is connected to your, I don't know, to your attachment, to your history, to your intimacy issues, to your trust, to your identity, to your relationship that you have with yourself, etc. It's really not one thing that you can like take out of your life and be like, this is just different. It is, everything is connected within us. And yeah, just feeling that sense of normality and sexuality, because it is such a taboo topic generally still in society, in the sense of maybe we talk about it more nowadays and we share it more, but still the authentic communication about it is very rare. And also, I don't want to kind of vomit all of these things on my friends, even my very close friends. You know, those are so personal and so intimate, and especially when it comes to fantasies and kinks or perversions or everything that people have, it's maybe not something you want to share even with close friends. And having a therapist who can like deal with that is so, so good, and it's such a relief, because it shows you can really talk to them about anything.
Totally. And it sounds like it's a negative, but realizing that you're not that interesting or special, and that even like your worst fantasy that you could think of, it's not going to be surprising or shocking to your if he's a good one.
Exactly, dude.
He's heard it all.
Dude, did you see? Like, this was so funny. A few weeks ago, I posted this on our Instagram. There's this meme. I'm sorry, I have to explain this now. It's so fucking hilarious. There's this meme from like the Great British Bake Off or something. And it's basically this woman and she holds a cake. And then the meme said on top of it, it was like, when you finally get the courage to tell your therapist your very dark sexual fantasies. And then your therapist, and it's this woman, and she's like, "Surprise, it's vanilla." It's just really that.
It's really true.
Dude, I've had moments where I shared something sexual from myself, whatever it was, I don't know. And it takes me still so much courage to do that. I don't know. For me, there's still so much shame around it, etc. And when I do, there has never been a moment when my therapist was like, "What?" You know,
Yeah,
he was always
never.
like, And I was always like, what? I thought this was like crazy. Never.
Never. I think another thing that I want to discuss a little bit is you mentioned in the beginning, sexuality and also gender and kind of how that is involved with the whole sex education, our relationship to sex, our ideas about sex. And that's been also another thing for me actually in therapy, because I always think of myself as such a straight woman. And everything that doesn't fit with that, I always like automatically reject. I'm like, no. I mean, we've all had lesbian dreams. Every time I have one, I never want to analyze it. I'm just like, nope, no, thank you. Pretending it never happened. And I remember I was so shocked when I told my analyst, my therapist, a story about something that happened with my mom and something that made me really upset because my mom was paying attention to this other girl and not me. And then my therapist went, "We've talked a lot about your sexual issues regarding your father. Like, we haven't gotten into your mother yet." And I was so shocked. I was like, "Wait, what?"
It's true.
I have those too, and I'm just like, no.
And
But it's so interesting because we all do.
I remember also having a similar moment like that where it was the first time that in therapy we touched on that on the subject, and it was really foreign to me. You know, it sounds so dumb, but I was really like surprised. I was like, interesting. Okay, I've never thought of that because you kind of almost label yourself your entire life. But it's funny because I need to mention here that ever since we've had the podcast, our therapist basically says we are a couple. Remember
Oh yeah.
when he made like all these
Oh my
remarks?
God,
It was
yes.
so funny because obviously we also talk about each other in therapy because we are friends, you know. It's not like of course, sometimes I'm sure I come up in your therapy, even if it's just like mentioning my name or something, and vice versa. So our therapist obviously knows us individually, which must be so funny to like also imagine our friendship. But for a while there, I remember he was always like, when I mentioned you or said something about the podcast or something, he was always like, "Well, it sounds like you and Lola have a very special friendship," or something like that. I was like, "Where is this going?" And I remember we were talking about it, and we were like, "Yo, he's like hardcore fishing
Yeah.
for it. He wants
Yes.
one of us to like break down."
No, also, I remember once, I really can't remember what it was about. Obviously, I repressed it because it was disturbing. But I was telling him about something, and it was about you. And he was like, I think it was about like both of us and dating. Oh yeah. No, I remember. I was like, you know what's so funny? We're so deep into the single life. It's gonna be so weird if one of us has a boyfriend. And then he was like, "Oh, why would that be weird for you?" And I was like, "Well, it wouldn't be bad. I would have to get used to it." And he was like, do I sense some jealousy?
That's so
funny. So yeah, he was really trying to make that happen.
Yeah. So sexuality basically has a huge role in therapy. And I think it should. Like, I understand that people go to therapy for different reasons. And also maybe if you go to like a cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, sexuality is not going to be as present most likely as when you go to psychoanalysis. But I think when you go to therapy regularly for a longer period of time and you kind of feel like you touch on all the subjects, even like trying to dive into uncomfortable ones, sexuality, even though I really understand that there's so much hesitation and resistance, it is so interesting and so worth overcoming that sense of shame, because who you are in your sexuality and how you behave when it comes to sexuality and stuff is really like who you are, and it makes so much sense diving into that because there's also a reason for that certain behavior.
Yeah, and it just makes me think about again what we were talking about last time. I really, really, really want to keep urging the point of you pay your therapist to provide you with a service. There's nothing that you need to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. You don't need to impress him. He doesn't need to like you. He's working for you. I mean, I completely understand if some things you're not comfortable talking about or you choose not to talk about. But if you want to discuss something, seriously do it, because I promise you they've heard worse. And
yeah,
they work for you, and they and let them, you know, provide you with that service.
Exactly. But that being said, every single person has a different timing, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I think for some people, it's much, much easier generally how it is easier for them to express their sexuality. For some people, it's also easier to talk about their sexuality. And for some, it will always be harder. And for me, it also took me like, I don't know, like literally months to not only listen to my therapist's interpretation of whatever I was saying and make it sexual, but from my side to really say something about my sexuality, to disclose something from myself. It took me a while, and it was like slowly, slowly dipping one toe at a time into a pool, you know, and kind of testing the water and see how it is. So don't think that when you start going to therapy that within the first two sessions you need to tell them your masturbation fantasies. It's not the case. If you feel comfortable doing it, you know, go for it. If you think it's important to you, go for it. But don't force yourself. Like, everything in its time. Yeah. I also recently read a book for uni, actually, and it was, for example, it was a psychoanalyst who wrote this book, and he wrote that when he had a first interview with a patient, it would often happen that patients would say stuff like, well, this and this is off topic though. You know, like, we can talk about everything but my wife, or but sexuality was very often a thing. And then he would say, I'm sorry, but I cannot do therapy with you then. Because obviously this is like the most interesting part. Yeah, exactly. When someone says like everything but sexuality, you know, okay, sexuality is probably where it's really at with this patient. And he was like, well, listen, this doesn't go with the psychoanalytic theory. The theory is that you should be able to talk about everything and nothing is like taboo. So I'm sorry, I cannot work with that. Other therapists would act differently, of course, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and it just makes me think that, I mean, we're privileged enough to be in therapy and to be able to work through all of these gaps that we had in our early education. I do feel like it's making up for a lot of the things that I was missing as a teenager, clearing up a lot of problems that developed because of that. At the same time, I have this like wish that people could be provided with that before the issues have to develop.
Exactly. But I think for the future, this is really where we have to change like our educational system or add stuff to the curriculum or just make these things more of a priority. And it's funny because I was just picturing us being like sex educators and going into
school. Oh my God, we should volunteer.
Dude, I think this would be such a cool job. Honestly, I think this would be so funny. But also then I remembered, do you remember once on the podcast we did an episode about the sex talk and how I said like sex can ruin lives?
Oh yeah.
I can see
oh
us.
My God,
imagine,
yes.
Imagine I see us in like a school being like cool sex educators feeling ourselves, and then we like start saying shit like that, and people and kids would sit there like, what is happening?
No, you'd be like, sex can ruin lives. I would be like, so a typical day of masturbation, I would say, is 5 to 6 times.
The teachers would be like, excuse me, could you come out here for a second? And this I would is be not like, what we discussed.
I would be like, don't do it in public, but you're welcome to do it in the restroom.
I do imagine it being a very interesting and cool job. Generally, everything that's regarding schools and like working with adolescents for me is something I'm so interested in, because as you say, you have such a good chance at preventing stuff, and yeah, prevention is always better than treatment. So if you can try to prevent it, why not, you know?
And another thing is, like, we always talk about the failures of education and the failures of sexual education, but something that I also am very, very aware of is, like, I started working at a hotel, and just by talking to my coworkers, I've learned that, and they're also like a little bit younger than me, some of them. And I hear the way that they talk about dating and their sexuality, and they're way more open than me, and polyamorous,
yeah,
bisexual. I don't know. I feel like an old conservative lady standing
it's
next to them.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
But that's another really important point, because I totally think that if that's what you want to do, you should never be embarrassed about it, and you should feel comfortable living whatever lifestyle you want. But if you don't want to, it's also okay to just be boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. I feel like there's almost going to be a pressure to be like not heterosexual,
not monogamous, not like
not,
everything.
Not monogamous, yeah, like all these things.
No,
it's
fetishes.
Like, you don't, yeah, you don't have to like follow trends,
yeah,
because they are trends. Even though it's a great trend, it's great progress.
Yeah.
It is a trend.
I also do think that the younger generations now are much more educated. And this is definitely something also that comes from technology and the internet,
yeah,
and social media and stuff. And
with
and all
like
its...
not having LimeWire.
Exactly. And with all its downsides, as you say, there's also many, many positive aspects of that. And I think that the younger generations are way better educated than we were and probably are right now.
Yes.
So there is hope. But yeah, I would be very interested to know from you guys your experience with sex education, because maybe there's someone out there who had a very positive experience, you know? So let us know.
Also, what I am very curious about, if there's any men listening,
yeah,
please get in touch, because we're talking about this from a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
And I am sorry if I called you monsters or that you violated me. But I'm sure you've experienced similar things.
Definitely.
Just like in a different context.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't. So please, I don't know, share those experiences with us if you
yes
want to.
Yeah, but thank you so much for listening, guys. As always, let
yeah
us know future topics you want us to cover. And yeah,
see you soon. I mean, hear you soon. I don't know.